Hello, this is Paul Jones from the Blues Band, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Sheila Ferguson, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Midgeur, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Martha Reeves, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Ian McLagan of the Small Faces, the Faces, the Bump Bands, and a number of other bands. But you're listening to Suzanne's World of Arts and Entertainment, you lucky people. Brooklyn's
Radio. Hi, this is Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Art and Entertainment.
Hello and welcome to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment. And yes, the truly golden voice of Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet, who is my very special guest on this particular edition. And it is very wonderful news to hear that the Spandau Ballet guys are back on tour. They're going to be doing a UK tour, stopping off at the O2 on the 17th and 18th of March. So settle back and enjoy an interview that I had with Tony earlier this week. Now, it's a true delight to be speaking with the incredible vocalist, Tony Hadley. So great to have you on the show, Tony.
Thank you. How are you doing? You're all right?
I'm very well, thank you. I mean, it's very exciting for fans of Spandau Ballet to know you're starting a UK tour. But if I can take you back for a moment, I believe it was when you were all at Dame Alice Owen's school in Potter's Bar, where I grew up, that you became the lead singer of which was to become Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, I mean, we were all at school together. We were doing sixth form, actually, up at Dame Alice Owen's at Potter's Bar, and I loved singing. I always loved singing, but I wanted to be a drummer, and I was in the music room one day, and then Johnny Keeble and Steve Norman and Gary Kemp, a couple of others all came in. John kicked me off the drums, and he was obviously a lot better than me, and then they started sort of, you know, doing songs, and then really it went from there to saying, look, you know, we need a proper lead singer. And being me, I was like, hey, you're looking at the best kind of thing. So I had a lot of fun for a 16-year-old, and went down and we played a song together, and that was the start of the band. So back in 1976, way before we became Spandau Ballet.
Brilliant. I mean, did you all have the same musical tastes at the time?
Well, no, I mean, we've had this film, Soul Boys of the Western World, which is out on DVD at the moment.
Yeah.
And in the film, I think you get a sense that there were sort of common sort of musicalities there, you know, David Bowie, Roxy Music, Bebop, Deluxe, Queen. But then we were also, you know, I was really into the kind of whole croony kind of thing with Sinatra and Tony Bennett and Jack Jones. Steve was a real soul man, you know. Gary was into kind of Yes. John Keeble was a bit of a rocker. So you put all those different elements together and it gives you quite sort of a band with sort of diverse musical taste. But I think probably Bowie was always the kind of linchpin within the band that we all kind of sort of grew to.
I mean, as a group, you've certainly evolved together. Tell us how it all came about.
Well, we were various different guises before we became Spandau Ballet. And we didn't have a name. And the whole London scene going on with Blitz and Billy's and our late great friend Steve Strange. And so we were involved in that whole kind of club scene, which was the post-punk scene. And we then purchased a synthesizer, which completely transformed the way we were approaching music. And we were also listening to stuff in the clubs like Kraftwerk and La Dusseldorf, also Systems of Romance, which was a brilliant album from Ultravox before Midgeur joined. And so there was a massive kind of electro kind of funk influence. And it was really Robert Elms, who's a journalist and DJ, who found our name graffitied on the toilet wall in a club in Berlin. And he came back and he said, guys, I know you need a name. I've got the name for you. Spandau Ballet. And I was like, what? I mean, you're always looking for something different. And we sort of went, okay, yeah, all right, that's good. And because I think we always felt fascinated by the German connection because, you know, David Bowie had been recording Heroes and Low in Berlin. Iggy Pop had been there, Lou Reed. And Berlin always holds a kind of a sense of sort of mystique, if you like. And it still does. It's always got a kind of slightly underground avant-garde feel to it.
Yeah.
So from our point of view, it was, everything's coming together. And that was the birth of Spandau Ballet in 1978. In 1980, we signed a deal and had a first hit record, Lucky Boys.
You won't be lucky girls and boys to hear you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's every school kid's dream. You watch Top of the Pops and you think, oh, one day I'd love to be, you know, you want to play your music to as many people as you can around the world. it's kind of weird how it all sort of, you know, comes about, and then before you know it, you're on Top of the Pops, you know.
It's amazing, isn't it?
16-year-old kid watching your heroes, and then there you are meeting them and being on the same programme. So it's really cool.
Fantastic. Yeah, it must have a real pinch-yourself moment, isn't it, something like that? I mean, you mentioned earlier about, you know, you played at Billy's and the Blitz Club. Is that where you developed your style and your dress sense, would you say?
Well, we were always into the whole fashion thing, and I think in the UK, you know, kids are. I mean, you know, the whole thing about, you know, fashion and music is that you want to sort of annoy your parents and you want to annoy the establishment. You know, you want people to look at you in sort of disdain. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, the Blitz and Billy thing was a reaction to what was happening with punk, really. And all of a sudden, there was a great sense of optimism, I think, amongst kids all around the country that felt that they could do whatever they wanted. They could transform the world. Maybe that's just youth, I don't know. But the fashion element that existed within Billy's and Blitz was a massive influence on the band, without a doubt.
And you mentioned about, you know, Germany and German style, you know, affecting you. But, I mean, I was fortunate enough to be in Berlin the year that the wall came down in 1989. Yeah, and I was going to say, you sung the classic hit Through the Barricade. It must have been very memorable, I would imagine.
Well, it's kind of weird with our songs, because certain countries take to, I mean, for instance, you know, True is the song in America. It's had over 5 million plays. I mean, just recently there was a big TV show and they were all singing True on it. And I mean, it's been, you know, the rappers have sampled it and everything. In Italy, it's I'll Fly For You. That's the song for the Italians. In the UK, it used to be True, but it's now Gold. But in Germany, it's definitely Through the Barricades. I think because of what happened with the wall and the East and West situation. And we were there when the Berlin Wall came down. We played a concert that night. And we performed Through the Barricade, and it was extremely emotional. It really, really was. And for me, it's my favourite Spanner song. I love it. Absolutely love it.
It's beautiful. I mean, your vocals are amazing. You've also
I try.
You do more than that. I mean, when you you're talking about obviously the war there, but you have entertained the troops serving abroad. That must have been very satisfying.
Yeah, years ago, actually, we, you know, I was just approached and said, you know, would you like to go and entertain the troops? And I've got lots of military connections in the family, and so I said, yeah, absolutely, fantastic. And it certainly wasn't a financial thing. It was a thing to do because you queen and country and all that kind of thing. And and so we went to Kosovo, Bosnia, Falklands, Ascension Island, Kuwait, Cyprus, Northern Ireland, loads and loads of different places. I mean, a lot of it seems to have stopped now. It doesn't seem to be quite as much sort of entertainment over there. I mean, I wanted to go to Afghanistan and entertain the troops, but it just wasn't logistically possible. But it was a great honour, and we had some fantastic times. I mean, they really are terrific, terrific people.
Yeah, it's wonderful stuff, isn't it? I mean, am I right in saying that you once performed the highest ever gig on a Boeing 767 at 43,000 feet for charity?
Myself and Kim Wilde, and the bolts didn't even come off, Yeah, it was all to do with British Airways and Comic Relief. Their charity is Flying Start, and they're connected with Comic Relief. And they said, look, you know, we'd love you to try and break the record. So myself and Kim did for the highest gig in the world, which was fantastic. The next one's got to be in space, hasn't it? That'd be good fun.
Absolutely. You've got to keep topping it, haven't you? You can't just stop there.
Well, yeah, you can't stop there. So, no, it was great. I mean, Kim's great. I mean, I love Kim. She's fantastic. You and her brother, Ricky, are brilliant.
Yes.
So, yeah, so it was brilliant fun. It was crazy people on the plane, absolutely crazy people, but it was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds phenomenal. I mean, you have such a great, dramatic, unique vocals. In the 80s, I always felt you should be in a musical, and of course, you have as Billy Flynn in Chicago in one of the show's most successful runs. It must have been great with your love of big band and swing to do that. Did you find the discipline of a musical compared to dates and concerts very different?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, I had a swing album that was coming out, and I was approached to do Chicago. And Chicago is the only show that actually has a live kind of jazz swing band on stage. I thought, wow, this is a great combination, swing album, Chicago, jazz band on stage. And so I'd never done anything. I'd never acted or anything. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. But the amount of dialogue you have to learn, you know, learning songs is one thing, but learning dialogue, I've never done it before. And, you know, I used to wake up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning with the scripts and check the script to make sure I was on cue. But it was a great experience. I did it for 3 months. It's something I did. I really enjoyed it. I've been asked to do loads of stuff since, but you know, to be honest, I'm just too involved. I have, with Stan now and all the boys and my own stuff. So, yeah. But it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it, really did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, with all the, you're a great supporter of charities, you've written an autobiography, appeared in films, and you've even DJed. I mean, how do you find the time for it all?
I don't know at the moment. it's crazy, yeah. I know I've got my Absolute Radio show, which is great on Saturday nights. That's cool. I've done the theatre thing. That's good. I'm out with Spandau now. And then and we're going to be touring till September, October. And then and then we'll all go about, people will have had enough of us by then. So we all go off and do our own individual things. And I'm releasing a new album in 2016 in the sort of early spring.
Oh, really? Oh, can we reveal the title, or is it too early?
I'm sort of still deliberating over that. I'm not too sure. I'll let you know, definitely.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, because, of course, the Swing album was Passing Strangers, and you did have a tour called Swinging True. Frank Sinatra is one of your people that you really look up to. How did you... Is that what made you want to get involved in that style of singing?
I've always loved that kind of stuff. Well, I tell you, basically, I was into, as I said, Roxy, Bowie, Queen, all that kind of stuff. But then my parents, when I was getting into singing at a very young age, 13, 14, said, look, I know you love punk and you love all this kind of music, but listen, just check out some of the older kind of style singers. And they sort of put me, connected me with the Sinatra, the Tony Bennett, the Jack Jones, Ella Fitzgeralds of this world. And I just got into it. I just really, really got into it. And I've always, occasionally I do swing concerts, even now, and I just love that style of music.
It's a great sound, isn't it? I mean, it seems, on a completely different subject, it seems very apt with the iconic song Gold, that you actually received a gold badge from the British Academy of Composers and Songwriters. I mean, that must have been wonderful to receive.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, any accolade's always good. Don't worry about that. We accept it gratefully. It's all cool. I mean, whenever you get, it's like anything, isn't it? When you're at school, you get a prize, you're happy. When you're grown up, if you get a prize, you're happy too.
Yeah. So, any kind of medal or ribbon.
Well, it's kind of nice to think that someone's thinking of you in a certain way. So,
yes.
It was lovely, actually. It was very nice.
Definitely. Now, of course, you did mention just a little while ago that you've got a tour coming up, which is very exciting. You're well used to to long tour dates, and it is very exciting that you're going to be on a UK tour before you head off to other parts of the world. What are you most looking forward to about being back with the guys, and what can audiences expect?
Just fun, really. I think we're a lot more relaxed. When we got back together again after 20 years, it was fantastic. We had a great time, and I suppose in a sense, it sounds a bit deep, kind of discovering each other again, as friends. So we're past that now. We've been traveling around the world, promoting the film and the album with the three new songs on it, and then getting ready, really, I suppose, to go on tour. We're a lot more relaxed, I think, with each other. We all feel a lot more comfortable within each other's company, because it is difficult when you've had a 20-year absence and all the stuff that went on, all the shenanigans and that. But tonight it feels good. But the show is, we've now played a couple of shows in America, and with Dublin and Belfast. Coming to the O2, I think, on the 17th and 18th.
That's
correct,
yeah.
And, so not long to go. It's a really cracking show. I mean, my wife is pretty hard to impress, and she said, wow, that was fantastic.
Oh, so, that's good
and,
to hear.
And she's a Duran fan.
Traitor.
No, she thought it was fantastic, and it's good. I mean, we're covering all the bases. Obviously we're doing all the hits that people know and hopefully love.
Yes.
And the three new songs as well, which go down so well. But we've also visited the really early stages of Spandau, that kind of four on the floor sort of electronica music. And that's probably one of... I love that section. It's such fun.
Oh,
really is. So it's a good show. It's a two-hour show. A great light, great production. Yeah,
sounds phenomenal. I mean, for myself, and I'm sure I speak for millions of fans, songs like Gold and True, they just make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Do you still get a buzz singing all those songs?
Yeah, because as soon as you start those songs, the sense of sort of like, I don't know, euphoria, I don't know if that's the right word, but you get a tremendous sense from the audience, like, oh yeah, they're doing our song, you know. It's kind of, it's there's always a great big roar at the start of those kind of songs, and which is nice. And I never get bored singing, and they're great. You know, we're happy with the new material that we're writing. That's really good.
Yes.
And you have to carry on writing and sort of, you know, you've got to create new material.
Yeah,
but,
expressing yourself.
But doing
yeah.
True Gold, Barricades, Only When You Leave, Lifeline, Highly Strung, I mean, it's all good stuff, yeah.
Oh, it's great because it just brings back so many feelings within yourself. And it's great that you've also got the documentary that's out at the moment.
So yeah.
That's very interesting.
Documentary.
Yeah, it's really well produced. Yeah.
Well, we spent, to be honest, the reason why we didn't really get around to a new album is because we were spending so much time on the documentary. We just, it's all archived, there's no talking heads, it's just, we spoke with the director, George Henkin is a lovely lady, and it was almost like therapy, really, and we sat down and spoke, we told our story to
her.
Yes. And we all sat down with her for a long, long time, and then she pieced together from archive footage, our interpretation of what, you know, what we felt the band was about and what happened within the band and everything. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got everything with the court case and everything and the breakup, and you can see it's quite interesting when you watch the film. There's certain moments you think, that's where it started to go wrong.
Yes.
And she's been very, it's a very quite emotional film as well.
Yes.
And I've watched it three times. I cannot watch it again. It's too
no.
close to home.
No, it's very positive as well, though, I think. And it's very, you really get a wonderful sense of time and atmosphere and exactly what was happening. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the good thing about it. I mean, if you can go through what we went through, I mean, we're the band that broken up the longest. You know, and it was really acrimonious. I mean, I'm not going to pull any punches. It was bad. It was very bad.
Yes.
But I'm glad we've managed to become friends again.
Yeah, came out, made you stronger, as they say.
Well, yeah, yeah. I think maybe you're right, yeah.
So that is available, coming out very soon, is it, Tony?
I think it's out now.
Yeah, it's out now. Oh, brilliant.
I'm useless, don't I, when things are coming out. It's rubbish.
Fantastic.
But, no, I think that's out now, yeah.
It's out now, brilliant. Now, of course, back to the concert. I mean, I have no doubt audiences will be singing at the top of their voices when you take to the stage at the O2 Arena on the 17th and 18th of March. And of course, for the duration of the tour. And as a true fan myself, I wish you tremendous success, as you deserve
thank
it
you.
All. And I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, that's really nice. No, listen, we love what we do. We're so lucky. I mean, I do have to pitch myself sometimes. You know, as a kid, as I said, you dream about being on the Top of the Pops. You get on Top of the Pops and then sign a deal at 20 years of age. I'm coming up for 55 in June. I cannot believe it.
Where
does it go? But yeah. I still feel like a kid in a sweet shop. And I think we're all very lucky that we're doing what we love. And,
yeah.
So thank you very much to everybody out there. It's really nice.
Oh, brilliant. Well, we love you back. So I must say that's really wonderful. And thank you. Thank you very much for being a really special guest on the show today.
No worries. Listen, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And that was the very special golden voice of Tony Hadley, a true professional. And of course, if you want to see Spandau Ballet live, be very quick about it. It is going to be absolutely huge. They're going to be the O2 on the 17th and 18th of March. So to book for that, it's www.theo2.co.uk. Also, to find out about the rest of the tour dates, which are quite extensive, it's www.spandauballet.com.
Suzanne Hunter bringing you the world of arts and entertainment in Surrey and beyond on Brooklyn's Radio.
Brooklyn's Radio.